Welcome to Singer Leewek's podcast series, brought to you by the professionals of Singer Leewek from various areas of expertise. Our podcast series touch upon different subjects related to growth, strategy, tax advisory services, and technical and regulatory matters. Good afternoon, Alberta. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for being here today and joining us on our Singer Leewek Public Companies podcast.
Oh, not at all. Happy to be here.
So today we're with Alberta Nazzoli to talk about financing in the small reporting company space and what these types of companies should be thinking about. Alberta, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Singer Leewek.
Okay. So again, I'm Alberta Nazzoli. I am an assurance and advisory partner here in the Los Angeles office. I've been at Singer Leewek for over 19 years.
Yeah, that's a long career.
A very long time. My experience has mostly been with technology and entertainment companies as well as manufacturers. And I've worked very heavily with smaller reporting companies. And with those, I've been involved with a lot of IPOs, with PIPEs, secondary offerings, and mergers and acquisitions.
Well, that's interesting because I know Singer Leewek specifically in the middle market space. I know that Singer Leewek has a significant practice with smaller reporting companies, which makes our accounting practice quite unique. And then we're here today to talk about smaller reporting companies and some of the things that your clients are doing right now.
Yes.
So can you walk us through that and let us know what the challenges and opportunities are at this point?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of our clients are smaller reporting companies, and they survive and grow and expand on a series of financings designed to take them through to profitability and realization of their business plans.
So when you say smaller reporting companies, Alberta, can you tell us a little bit of what specific type of company would benefit from today's podcast?
Well, we're seeing a lot of our clients undertaking secondary financings right now. And these financings are not only important for traditional acquisitions and growth strategies, but for smaller reporting companies, these financings are their lifeblood. They need this money for R&D activities, to get their business model where it needs to be, and to finance restructurings and streamline activities as these businesses transition from early stage to full-blown traditional businesses. And these are things that traditional mature businesses may not need to be thinking about right now.
So typically the smaller companies that are looking to expand, raise capital, and that are challenged, obviously, by raising some of that money on their own, are going the IPO route. Is that the trend that you're seeing right now?
Yes.
It sounds a little complicated, though,
yes.
on the types of transactions that you're doing right now.
Yes, they are. And especially given all these regulatory requirements for public companies these days and the potential complexity in accounting for these types of transactions.
So there's always organizational issues on these kinds of things. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Well, I'd have to say, and I'm going to quote a playwright, George Bernard Shaw, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So communication is key. In terms of the top three things, maybe just to summarize it, the companies can do to make transactions that they go through as smooth as possible, I'd probably say one, get everyone involved in the process early.
And when you mean everyone, are you referring to investors, board members?
Everybody within the company, their internal staff, their attorneys, their bankers, and of course, even their accountants.
Got it.
These things take a lot of time, and especially when companies are going on the roadshow, going through the comfort letter procedures, and the ongoing registration process, it just takes a lot of time. So companies should plan and provide enough time because, again, each one of these transactions just really take a tremendous amount of effort, and companies sometimes might not foresee that.
And planning, right?
Yes, planning.
Lots of planning.
Yep. Maybe the third thing I'd say is making sure all the parties are involved are communicating. So to list them again, like the internal staff, the bankers, the attorneys, the accountants, everyone should be aware of what everyone else is doing. So there's absolutely no confusion regarding scheduling requirements, timelines, deadlines, commitments, everything.
So, Alberta, when a company decides that it's time to raise capital for all these internal growth ambitions, what's typically the first step that you see from small reporting companies? What's the first step they can take to prepare themselves?
Well, I'd say again, to get everybody talking and to get organized, to lay out a plan, a timeline of when everybody is going to do what. Very, very important. The other thing I'd like to say too is that as an accountant, I would be remiss if I didn't remind everyone that these transactions are often very complicated from a technical accounting standpoint. And the accounting literature is very often complex and not intuitive at all.
Right, we know that.
Yeah. The terms included in these transactions can have such a significant impact, and sometimes it's unexpected too.
So these are typically the challenges that the small reporting companies face, that you have to have a very significant plan, very detailed. You have to have the right people on your side to guide you through the process. And communication, like you said, is key. But are there any other issues that you've seen in the past with some of your clients that came out of nowhere?
Yes. So like I've mentioned many times over, and I'll say it one more time, just to reiterate that it is very important to get everyone involved early in the process. And like you were asking about in relation to the technical accounting issues, they won't nearly be the problem that they can become if everyone is just talking and communicating early enough. So moving on to like the top three or four areas that are kind of a huge focus, I would say that if I were to list a few larger common issues, I would say that companies should be especially focused on 1, down-round and non-standard anti-dilution provisions, 2, the contractual elements that follow fundamental transaction wording and cash payouts, 3, registration requirements, and 4, any attached warrants to the deal. There are so many accounting issues that can arise, but these are where I see companies are dealing with most these days.
So for those of us who do not know this lingo, in layman's terms, what is a down-round provision?
So a down-round provision is generally a provision that provides for a strike price of an instrument, like a conversion feature on preferred stock or debt, or a warrant exercise price, to be adjusted when a subsequent financing is made by the company at a lower price.
Is that a problem, a challenge? What would you say to that?
Well, the basic principle of most of the guidance surrounding equity instruments is that if an instrument does not carry the same or similar risk that a common shareholder would have, then the instrument shouldn't be considered an equity instrument. So having an exercise price that adjusts for future sales of stock provides the holder of the instrument protection that a common shareholder doesn't have. And therefore, it might result in the instrument being accounted for as a liability. And this means that the balance sheet may be negatively impacted. And the earnings stream is subject to volatility because this instrument gets marked to market at every reporting period.
Wow, so that actually sounds very complicated. And I would assume that a company has to be very vigilant and plan very diligently for this.
Yes, definitely. If a company is prepared and organized, it can deal with all these things up front.
Okay, and how about the second one, fundamental transaction? What are those?
So as the name implies, fundamental transactions are usually those transactions that fundamentally change the business or its control. These could be things that result in a change in control of the business, meaning mergers, or even significant asset disposals.
So Alberta, why would that mean anything to an investor, or how does this impact the accounting procedure?
Well, investors want to protect themselves and often write into these deals protection clauses for themselves if certain transactions were to occur after they make their investment. But if companies aren't careful, these can trigger some pretty complicated accounting. Just like the down-round protection, they could result in liability accounting. And generally, if the fundamental transaction protections require cash payments on the occurrence of one of these quote-unquote fundamental transactions, or provide the investor with generally better rights than other equity holders, the financing might have to be accounted for as a liability. And this can have a pretty devastating impact on a company's balance sheet and its ongoing reported earnings.
Wow, so the message is here to be very careful on building protections for investors for fundamental transactions, right?
Right.
So tell me about the registration rights, which is the third point in your key areas.
Well, this one seems to hang around forever and never go away. It's been an issue since the early 2000s, and it continues to affect companies. And companies still struggle with this because investors want their shares registered. And really, what investor wouldn't?
Right, who wouldn't? But then what's the real issue here? What's the problem that you identify with that?
Well, the problem arises if a company is required to register shares or is required to file a registration statement or to keep that registration statement effective. Any one of these requirements may result in the instrument being accounted for as a liability. The presumption here is that the registration and its maintenance is not within the company's ability to control. And if the company is not able to meet this obligation, then it would be forced to settle the instrument in cash. And this is what causes it to be accounted for as a liability. Of course, this is a very gross simplification, for example's sake, but that's just the gist of it. If a company is required to register shares, then it is highly likely that it may have a liability. And there are actually some pretty basic ways to fix this issue that many companies have figured out, and they're actually quite easy to make, but that's for another podcast.
So then we'll be happy to have you for part two.
Well, thank you.
Of today's podcast. Okay, so then the additional message here is to be careful of registration rights on your financings for all these small reporting companies.
Yes, be careful, and again, to communicate early. This
get
one,
everyone involved.
Yes, that's right. Registration rights. This one is one that can be fixed very early and very easily.
And then finally, Alberta, one of your fourth points was the problem with warrants. I imagine that many, if not most, of these financings have some kind of warrant coverage. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, and yes, they do. A lot of these transactions do have warrants. Many of these financings have these warrants as part of the deal, and these warrants represent separate instruments to the financing unit, and generally they have to be evaluated separately. And this continues to be an ongoing source of frustration for smaller reporting companies because they struggle with all of this complexity.
So why would they have to be evaluated separately? Why is it that the reporting requirements call for that?
Well, the accounting rules look at these, again, generally, as a standalone instrument. All of the provisions